open your Bibles with me this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13. We have here on the pages of Scripture one of the most extensive, all-encompassing descriptions of the love that God has for us and the love that God wants us to show to others. It's amazing love. Many of you are still celebrating the Dallas Mavericks winning the NBA championship just a week ago. And last Thursday, they had a big celebration over in Dallas. Hundreds of thousands gathered to lavish their love on the Dallas Mavericks and their championship in the NBA. I read in the newspaper yesterday that even President Obama called and congratulated Coach Rick Carlisle, and they've been invited, the Mavs have been invited to the White House for official recognition. The fact is that everybody loves champions and winners. But the love that we're talking about here on the pages of God's Word is not just for champions and for winners. The love that we find here on the pages of Scripture are for people who have been defeated and who failed and who faltered and have made a mess of things. It is the love, the unconditional love of Almighty God. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4 starts off with two very important characteristics or qualities of this godly love of our Father. And it says that love is patient, love is kind. Now, I mentioned last week that as I'm preaching through this passage of Scripture during the summer months, that we're going to memorize 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 8 together. There are some bookmarks in the pew there, and if you've got some at the end of the pew, if you just pass them down, make sure everybody gets one, and just stick it in your Bible here at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, and work on memorizing it. I had a father stop me in between the services and mention that he was helping his children to memorize this passage of Scripture through the summer. And that's what we have in mind. We want you to work on memorizing this word as we're studying it in detail over the next several weeks. And in fact, one of the most important principles of Scripture memory is review. And so we're just going to review the first part that we've already talked about. Let's say it together. Love is patient. Love is kind. Say it again. Love is patient. Love is kind. Great. You're on your way to memorizing 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 8. Now, what we have here in this passage of Scripture is an incredible challenge to us to begin to relate to other people in the energy of God's love in us and through us. And when we talk about this love, we're not talking about just emotional sentimentalism. Neither are we talking about something that we sort of drum up in ourselves, this feel-good towards somebody else. What we're talking about here is not following your heart. You know, I hear people say all the time, follow your heart. The fact is that that's not good counsel. Because the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 17 that the human heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. The Bible doesn't tell us to follow our hearts. The Bible tells us to lead our hearts, to give glory to God and seek the truest good for the people that God places in our lives. Now, I've entitled this series of messages, The Power of Love. The power of love. And the fact is that we spend a lot of energy trying to change other people in our lives, don't we? And we whether it's our mate or whether it's our kids or someone else in the church, and yet our efforts to try to change other people in our own strength will always be frustrated and will always fail if we do not consider this. That the only thing that can truly change a human being is the love of Almighty God. And when we begin to experience this love and then begin to express this love in our relationships, what happens is that we create an environment around a person where they understand and know that they're absolutely loved by God and loved by us. And it's in that atmosphere that a person can truly change. That is the power of love. Now, all of the qualities of love that we're going to talk about here in 1 Corinthians 13 all start with God. First and foremost, they are virtues of our Heavenly Father. We're talking here about the Father's love. And on this Father's Day, 2011, it's a good reminder to us as dads of the qualities of love that need to be exhibited in and through our lives. It's the Heavenly Father's love flowing through the lives of earthly fathers. Now, what does this tell us about the Father's love? Well, we learn, first of all, that the Father's love is patient. Verse 4, love is patient. Now, the word patience means to suffer long, and I'll talk more about that in just a second. But you need to know that God's love is willing to wait while other people are changing. I said before that each of these qualities of love start with God. They are virtues of our Heavenly Father. And we learn how to be patient by experiencing and knowing the patience that God has shown to us. And by experience that patience that comes to us, then we're able to be patient with other people. And you need to know today that God has been patient with every one of us. And He has shown this patience in His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, the man who, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, penned these words is the Apostle Paul. You may know that the Apostle Paul had a dramatic conversion experience, that he experienced the transforming love of Christ in an amazing way on the Damascus Road. And he fully understood how patient God had been with him. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, he talks about his experience of God's patience in his life. He said, "I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display His unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on Him and receive eternal life." So Paul testifies here that he was the worst of sinners. And if you read in the book of Acts, you know that he resisted Christ for the longest time. He ran from Christ, and on top of that, he tried to do everything he could to make life miserable for anyone who was following Christ. He was as far from God as you can imagine anyone, in spite of the fact that he was a very religious person. He had never experienced the love of Jesus Christ till on that Damascus Road one day, he was literally struck by the lightning of God's love. And he had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. And as he thought back on it, when he talked about his conversion experience, of how he, the worst of sinners, was still loved by God, he spoke of it in terms of God's unlimited patience. God is patient with us while He is drawing us to Himself. And it's all the way through the Bible. When Peter talks about the second coming of Christ in 2 Peter chapter 3, this is a time when God's judgment is going to come upon the earth. And at that point, it will be too late to respond to the love of Christ. But notice what he says in 2 Peter 3:9. He says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping His promises," the promise of His return and judgment that will come upon the earth, as some understand slowness. "But rather, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." Paul would say, you know, God could have squashed me like an ant, but He didn't. He was patient with me. But God's patience is intended not to just let us dilly-dally around, but rather His patience is intended to turn us and lead us to repentance. And if you haven't received Christ today, you need to know that you're living on borrowed time. God is being patient with you because He doesn't want you to perish. And so God's patient love for us that He has demonstrated to us in the cross and in His Son Jesus Christ then becomes the source of our patient love toward other people. That word patience is a combination of two words, macrothumia. Macro means the long term, the big picture. Thumia is the word from which we get our word thermos, and it means heat, it means passion. And you put those words together, and what you have here is a picture of someone who heats up without boiling over. Heating up without boiling over. And that's what patience is. This patience gives us the ability to not be easily angered. We're going to study that in 1 Corinthians 13. It helps us to have a long fuse rather than a quick temper. Patience enables us to be calm while people around us are doing foolish things. It gives us the ability to forgive and not keep a record of wrongs. We're going to be talking about that very matter. Patience is at the root of these things. Now, you know, God has a great sense of humor. And He displays that in my life all the time in the fact that this first quality of love is one that I seem to have the most problems with. And God says, "All right, Dean, you're going to get to preach on this." I was in the post office the other day. And if you're a postal employee, I don't mean this as criticism against you. Your president needs to get you some more help, okay? Now, post offices, I think God puts them in places in the city as just places for us to learn patience. In fact, the initials for post office, P-O, should really mean patience office, all right? Well, I was in the patient's office the other day, standing in line for about a half hour. And I was thinking in my mind, there's got to be somebody, sure in all of the billions and trillions of dollars our budget, there's some smart person out there who can figure out how to get this working a little faster. And I was starting to heat up, nearing the point of boiling over. On top of that, there was this man at the counter. Now, he's been standing in line for 30 minutes. He has this form that he's supposed to fill out. Now, he has 30 minutes to fill it out, but he chooses to wait until he gets to the counter to fill out this piece of paper. And I'm saying, "Oh, come on, man." I'm beginning to rehearse in my mind everything that I'm going to say to that clerk when I get up there, of how this could all be run differently and we would not spend half a day in the post office. Well, about that time, there was a tap on my shoulder. And I turned around and there was this lady. She said, "Aren't you Pastor Dean from Travis Avenue Baptist Church?" God has a sense of humor. And so I bit my lip. But you know, when we make the choice to be patient, we're responding to negative situations in a positive way. Patience strengthens us to control our emotions rather than being overwhelmed by them. And when other people offend us or annoy us, we don't lash out at them, but we patiently keep ourselves under control. You know, for many people, their default emotion is anger. That's their default emotion. Whenever they're hurt or whenever they're annoyed, that's what they default to, anger or a temper. And that may be the way we are in our flesh, and yet the Scripture calls us and teaches us that we're to be patient. And you see, when we are impatient with other people, what's happening is that we're simply spreading the poison. We're simply spreading the poison. In fact, I want you to write this down in your note sheet, that impatience spreads the poison. Patience spreads the medicine. Impatience only makes things worse. It spreads the poison, where patience spreads the medicine. Patience doesn't rush to judgment. Patience enables us to listen and get the whole picture before we speak or we respond. Patience gives to others the permission to be human. It gives to others the permission to be human. Because the fact is that all of us are human and all of us make mistakes. And when we're patient, we simply understand that we're all human. I'm one of those crazy people who enjoys long-distance running. And I learn a lot from running, and I've learned a lot from running marathons. In marathons, you have to be patient. And you know, life is a marathon. Marriage is a marathon. Work is a marathon. Church work is a marathon. Parenting is a marathon, and it requires patience, a patience that comes to us. Now, you may say, well, I'm just not a patient person. Well, that's not an excuse. If you're a Christ follower, the person who is living in you is a patient person. Jesus Christ, he has demonstrated his patience to you by not squashing you when you were a sinner and separated from him. He was patient with you while you were coming to him and when you've made mistakes. And you're to show that same kind of patience, not in your own strength, but in the strength that the Holy Spirit gives you. Galatians 5:22 tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, what? Patience. That means that this is the fruit, the evidence that the Holy Spirit is at work in your life under and in control in your life. And when we pray for others, one of the great things we can do is to pray Scripture for them. In Colossians 1 and verse 11, Paul talks about his prayer for the believers in Colossae. And he says in verse 11, Colossians 1, they will be strengthened with all power. The power of the Holy Spirit, strengthening them according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. So when you think about praying for your pastor, you can pray that the Holy Spirit will give me power to have great endurance and patience. It's a quality that's not natural to many of us, but it is supernatural because the Holy Spirit is living in us. So the Father's love is patient. But the second thing we see here in this verse is that the Father's love is kind. It is kind, according to verse 4. Now, patience and kindness go together. And we're going to see this over and over again. Patience is the way we react to others in a negative situation. It's the way we react. Kindness is the way that we act toward others in a negative situation. And patience withholds something while kindness extends something. You know, kindness is what makes people likable. You stop to think about the people that you like. Are they not the people who have been kind to you? In fact, you can just jot this down in your notes there. A kind person is good to us and good for us. A kind person is good to us and good for us. We all need kind people around us. You know, just about anybody can be kind if they try hard enough, even if they're not a Christ follower. But what we're talking about here is a kindness that goes way far beyond what any mortal human being can muster on their own. It goes far beyond what the unregenerate human spirit can offer. It is a kind of supercharged kindness that comes only through the indwelling Holy Spirit. Again, Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, and the very next one, kindness. It comes from the indwelling Spirit within us. Now, let me just show you a few things quickly about what kindness looks like. What does it look like? Kindness, first of all, is courteous. It means you go first. That's one of the kindest things that you can do, is to say to someone else, you go first. Now, I mentioned to you last week that this chapter, 1 Corinthians, doesn't just come by itself, that it comes in a context. And the context is not Paul talking necessarily about marriage, it's not talking about parenting, but actually what he's talking about is a church, a church situation that needed the reminder about this kind of kind and patient love. And the fact is that the Corinthian church had a problem with this, and the problem is they would gather together several times during the week to practice what is called an agape feast or a love feast. The problem is that there wasn't much love in their love feast. The way it worked is it was a kind of ancient potluck supper, all right, where everybody would pool their food, bring their food together and their drink together, and they would share in a meal. That way, those that didn't have very much could share in the bounty of other people. But the problem was that the more well-to-do people in the church would show up at the potluck early because they didn't have to work as late as the poorer people. So they would get there and they would go through the line and pile up their plates with all that fried chicken and mashed potatoes and everything else. And they would get their glasses full, and by the time the poor people got there, there was not enough for them to eat. And so Paul, in rebuking them just a couple of chapters before what we have here in 1 Corinthians 13, in 1 Corinthians 11, 21, he says, "For as you eat, each of you goes ahead without waiting for anybody else. One remains hungry, and another gets drunk." He goes on to say in verse 33, "So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for each other." It's just basic kindness. It's courteous. Kindness says you go first. The next thing is kindness is gracious. It is gracious. It gives to others what they don't necessarily deserve. And remember, that's exactly what God has done for us in His Son, Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 2 talks about the need for everyone to put their faith in Jesus Christ. And in Romans 2 and verse 4, Paul says, "Or do you show contempt for the riches of His kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you toward repentance?" So the fact that God has shown you kindness, friend, even if you've not received Christ and you've never turned your life over to Him, God has still been kind to you. He has given you life. He has given breath in your lungs. He is giving you food and water, and He's giving you a job, and He's given you possessions. All of those things, whether you believe it or not, have come from His hand. He has been kind to you, and that kindness is intended to lead you toward repentance. God's grace is seen in kindness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:7 talks about the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. And so this kindness that God has shown for us then becomes the motivation for our being kind to other people. In Ephesians 4:32, He says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." One of the great expressions of kindness is forgiveness. And Paul is saying, listen, God was kind to you in giving you forgiveness, and that's the motivation for you forgiving other people. 1 Thessalonians 5:15 says, "Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else." Kindness is gracious. Next, kindness is helpful. It's helpful. You see, kindness reaches out to meet the need of the moment. It's holding open a door for someone. It's helping a mom get her kids out of the car and into the store. It's letting someone who has raced up ahead, not thinking they should be in this lane, it's backing off and letting them in. Now, I know this from experience. Again, God has a sense of humor in making me preach on patience and kindness today. But I see somebody coming up in my rearview mirror, and you know they're going to try to get ahead and cut in rather than move over when they're supposed to. I'm hugging the bumper of the guy in front of me. Now, you don't laugh at me because you do the same thing. But I hug the bumper in front of them. They're not going to cut in front of me. But then I find myself the guy in the other lane too, wanting to cut in and needing somebody to show a little kindness to me when I've been an idiot and have not got over when I should. Kindness helps practically in that way. You know, in fact, this past week, in preparation for this message, I decided I was going to be on the lookout for the kindness that was shown to me at different times during the week. That I was going to try to be alert to the way that other people were kind to me. The first thing that came to my attention was I was at a car rental counter in an airport. And the lady looked at me, saw that I was 6'4", and she said, "I'm upgrading you. You would not be able to fit in the car that I'm going to give you." So she upgraded me without any extra charge. That's kindness. I thought about the visit to the doctor's office and the nurses around us this week that were so kind and considerate and understanding. And that's kindness. And many, many other things that I don't have time to express today. Kindness is helpful. Kindness is gentle. It's gentle. You see, when we're kind to other people, it means that we're not harsh in our words, even when we have to say hard things. We say it with kindness. We choose our words carefully. I'm just appalled at what I see happening and observing out in public and in grocery stores and other places where parents speaking harshly to their children. I might not just correcting them, but being harsh. Kindness is gentle. In fact, when Paul talks about all of the insults and everything that are heaped on him, he says, "When we are slandered, we answer kindly." Kindness is gentle. Kindness is active. It's active. It takes initiative. You see, kind love keeps a constant lookout for needs that can be met, and it takes initiative. It watches, and then it moves into action. You'll never master love until you can master kindness. As I said earlier, patience is how we react to others in a negative situation. Kindness is how we act toward others in a negative situation. And Jesus understands the connection between the two, and he tells this amazing story or parable in Matthew chapter 18. It's about a king who decided to settle up his accounts with his servants who owed him money. And so he calls them in by one by one, and he calls this one servant in who happens to owe the king the equivalent of millions of dollars. Now, this is a parable, and so we're not told how conceivably a servant could get into that much debt. But the point is that they owe much more than they could ever repay. And so the king says to the servant, "Pay up. It's time for you to pay up." And the servant says, "I can't." And so Jesus in his parable describes how the king ordered for the servant and his family to be sold to repay the debt. But the servant was desperate, and he fell down before the king and he begged. In Matthew 18, verse 26, he said, "Be patient with me, I will pay back everything." And the word for patience there is the same word that Paul uses in 1 Corinthians 13, 4. Be patient with me, suffer with me a little while longer. And in Jesus' story, the servant's master is patient toward him, took pity on him, and canceled the debt, all millions of dollars of it, canceled the debt and let him go. He showed patience in not reacting harshly to this man who owed him so much money, and he showed kindness by forgiving the debt. Well, having been shown that patience and kindness should have transformed this servant's life, but it didn't. Jesus' parable goes on to describe how the servant immediately found one of his fellow servants who owed him the equivalent of just a few dollars. And it said that he began to choke him and said, "Pay back every penny you owe me." And the fellow servant said, "I can't pay it back." And the servant who had been forgiven so much had his fellow servant thrown into prison. Well, the king heard about what had happened and how this man who had been forgiven so much responded. And he was furious. He was furious. And he called for that servant to be brought forward, and he had him thrown into jail. And the point of Jesus' message is that if you have received patience and kindness, then you are obligated to show patience and kindness toward others. Every one of us in this room has received the patience and kindness of the Lord. And God is watching how we treat other people with patience and kindness. You can't do it on your own. You can't be this patient with people and this kind of people in your own strength. You need to experience the patience and kindness of God when you open your heart to Jesus Christ. Have you ever done that? Have you received this wonderful gift by faith? God has been patient with you and kind to you, and it's intended to lead you to Him.